Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for more than 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Beatty Farm outside of Rochester in Sangamon County, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're traveling, really chasing the Secretary of Agriculture across the state today. This morning, he spoke with members at the Illinois Farm Bureau at the Beatty Farm. We'll hear his opening comments during our half-hour program. Along the way today, we'll check in on the marketplace, too. That with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And the weather will come to you from the folks at Brisk Pulse out of Chicago. If you'd like to follow me along today during this chase of the Secretary of Agriculture, you can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Or even better, you can check out the Commodity Week Twitter account. That's at Commodity Week. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, just a couple of notes about the Secretary's visit to the state of Illinois today. This is their Back to Our Roots RV tour. The Secretary is traveling in a recreational vehicle and arrived here in Rochester, outside of Rochester on the Beatty Farm, right at 11 a.m. this morning, right on time, to the backdrop of a couple of big John Deere farms at a tent that had been put up for the purpose of feed was put on, and maybe 75 to 100 folks were in attendance, most of those members of the Illinois Farm Bureau and some of the politicians, including folks like John Shimkus from the state of Illinois, were here. I did get a kick at one point during his comments to the Farm Bureau members. He mentioned NPR. It wasn't in the best of ways, but but that's all right. That happens on occasion. I'll try to pull that cut and put that up on the WILL website. He was having fun at National Public Radio's expense from time to time. So you might want to turn your attention there. Nonetheless, we do have an opportunity to talk with him, and you'll get a chance to hear from the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture here during this program today, and then on our website at willag.org, willag.org, and you can always find more on our Twitter account at Commodity Week. Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklevic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalem. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling, well, really chasing the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture across the state. He'll be in Rochester earlier today at 11 o'clock. At this time, he should be transitioning to Shenandoah, where he'll be speaking at an FS there. And then this evening, he'll be at the Georgetown Fair. If you'd like to catch up with him there, I know that event should be fairly open, and you can maybe get a glimpse of the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, part of the Trump administration. Now let's turn our attention to what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group. Kurt Kimmel is here with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
What we're seeing is actually some fairly good buying interest. The corn's up 4 to 5 cents. Beans 9 to 12 higher, and the wheat market up about 4 to 5 cents thus far going into the 12:30 hour. We did see some new sales. Sold 180,000 tons of corn to Mexico, new crop corn. So Mexico's evidently not too mad at us. They continue to buy some of our corn. Then we saw kind of a last-minute sale, 206,000 tons of beans to unknown destination. And the reason I say last-minute, it was 2016-17 production. And this is, you know, 1st of August. And for this marketing year, that might not make it out of the country. So that might be rolled over into new crop. But these sales were positive. Shipments, we shipped out 586,000 tons of wheat, 979,000 tons of corn, 685,000 tons of beans. And so we're continuing to move out what we sold. All that news combined with the weather forecast. Iowa continues to miss out on some of these timely rains, per se. As we look at the forecast here coming up, cool, but, you know, somewhat dry. August is a critical time window for beans, kind of makes or breaks the beans as far as production goes. And so the trades want to put a little bit of weather premium back into the marketplace since we've kind of dipped down to some oversold levels here and need a good old-fashioned dead cat bounce here.
Well, Thursday, Kurt, the United States Department of Agriculture will update for the first time this growing season its crop production numbers for corn and soybeans. The Secretary of Agriculture, frankly, was asked this morning about their continued use by farmers and whether there were other data supplies that might work. He didn't think that was the case and had full confidence in USDA NASIS, despite the fact he said that he was a user of those particular products when he was an owner of an elevator system in Georgia and fed corn and soybeans, corn in particular, to some ethanol plants. Didn't always think the numbers agreed with what he had in mind, but, well, he said the USDA numbers were right. What do you think the United States Department of Agriculture will show on Thursday?
Boy, that's a tough question. What one thinks the numbers are Thursday versus where we are with production could be two different things. Overall, we kind of feel that the crop is around 166 bushels to the acre. And you can fine-tune demand a little bit, so our corn ending stocks number is about 1933. On beans, same type of scenario. We kind of move the yield around, demand around a little bit. We feel we're closer to 400 million bushel carryout when it's all said and done. Trade estimates, old crop, it's not expected to change a whole lot. Corn ending inventories, the average guess is about 16 million bushels higher. Bean old crop inventories expect to be about 9 million bushels, a little lower from the July estimate. The new crop-wise, the corn estimate's about 300 million bushels less. The average trade guess is right near 2 billion bushels. The bean estimate down about 40 million bushels. It's about 420 million bushel bean ending stock inventory. This is always a tough report because they so-called come through and count the ears. But if we remember, that was a big challenge this spring on population counts. So if they would happen to visit fields or get some surveys from areas that had low stands, that could be a significant issue in through here. We'll see what the numbers are, whether it's bullish or bearish. Compared to a year ago, it was quite volatile. But the key will be the pro farmer crop tour towards the end of the month in here to kind of verify what the USDA says. So we got everybody watching, everybody trying to get a handle on maybe where this moving target comes in at, Todd.
Are there trade guesses for this afternoon's USDA crop conditions report?
Yes, basically about unchanged. Nobody's getting real brave here because it's a balancing act, what it is. We're going to see some deterioration in portions of Iowa, for example, but yet we're going to see some improvement where we did see some rains. Conditions for corns expected to come in about 61-62%, fairly well in line with last time, 61 last week. The bean estimates last week was 59% good to excellent. This report's afternoon at 3 o'clock expected to be 59-60% good to excellent. That did make the showers help the beans out here over the last week.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling, really chasing the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, across the state today. We started in Rochester and Sangamon County. We'll go to Shenoah this afternoon at the FS, and then this evening we'll be in Georgetown at the Georgetown Fair. Those two events really are kind of open. If you'd like to drop by and see the Secretary, certainly in Georgetown at the fair there, you can stop in and maybe get a glimpse of the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. He spoke this morning in Sangamon County at the Beatty Farm to members of the Illinois Farm Bureau. I recorded his opening comments. Here's what Secretary Sonny Perdue had to say.
Thank you, Rich. How y'all doing?
Very good.
All right, you heard that word, didn't you? New York Times reporter came down to after my announcement of being nominated, and he said, I hear this word, y'all. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, it's pretty clear. It's y'all. And he said, well, is that singular or plural? I said, well, that's kind of an interesting question. It's singular, of course. He said, really? I said, he said, yeah. He said, well, what's the plural form? I said, well, that's easy. It's all y'all. So welcome all y'all. Thank you to the Beatties today for hosting us here. It's always a real honor to come on someone's farm, and you are a great host. Rich, your colleagues in Wisconsin and Minnesota have just showed out as that, and you've done the same today, inviting these friends and folks around here, and I look forward to hearing from them. We are on a Back to the Roots tour, and it's not about me, it's not about what I know, but it's about what you all can teach me out here. As a former grain guy, grain elevator guy, I know Senator Grassley tweeted out from Iowa that he wanted somebody from north of the Mason-Dixon line to be Secretary of Agriculture. I went up to him the day of the inauguration. I had to chase him down. I said, Senator Grassley, I said, I need to introduce myself. I'm Sonny Perdue. I own 12 grain elevators, no peanuts, no cotton, and I shipped an ethanol plant. He said, you've been reading my tweets? I said, you better I have. So anyway, I'm a little jealous driving through the back roads of Iowa and Minnesota, Wisconsin, and certainly Illinois here in this great fertile farm ground to see this beautiful corn and beans. I wish I could take you to spots in Georgia to show you these kind of crops, but we don't have them nearly as consistently as you do, Director Poe. So thank you for being here today, and thank you for your wonderful remarks. And we look forward to working with you and your colleagues across the country to develop a farm policy that makes sense for your farmers here in Illinois, as well as those really all across the country. The good news about farming is there may be different practices from state to state, different crops from state to state, but farm folks are pretty much the same. And I think we can sense that. You farmers can kind of smell authenticity. So when I get out here and roll the corn cob with you, then you know I've done that before, and we know how to whine like the rest of them. So I used to have a customer that told me, he said, I used to love, I don't know if y'all use the word poor mouthing here in Illinois or not, but it's kind of whining about how bad things are. He said, I used to love the poor mouth till it came true on me. So, but nonetheless, things look pretty prosperous up here, and nothing that real exports and selling around the world won't cure. That's really what we need. When we think about a farm bill and programs, what I know is for most farmers, they're really talking about a safety net when things don't go well, because you'd much rather have a good crop at a fair price any day in any kind of farm program or insurance. So that's what we start with, and that's what we want to do, is develop a program in the Farm Bill. You know that the Secretary of Agriculture doesn't write the Farm Bill, but Congress, and where's Congressman Shimkus? There he is. Thank you, sir, for being here with us as well. We inform the Congress as they get to look at the and construct the Farm Bill about what their ideas are. They know that we're talking to farmers, listening to farmers, hearing from them day in and day out about what the details are. So as he and his colleagues in the House and the Senate to try to develop the 18 Farm Bill, they're here to hear from you about what's working, what's not working, and how we can do better. And interestingly, when you mentioned the president, the first day I was sworn in, had that Farmers Roundtable right there in the Roosevelt Room, signed the executive order over interagency task force, asked me to chair it over 22 different agencies. Okay, you gonna get it? 22 different agencies about rural prosperity. And the president's serious about that and knows he wants us to know how we can either get out of the way or help. And, you know, you heard the comment, you know, leaders want people who will lead, follow, or get out of the way. So maybe you want us to tell us to get out of the way or some things. But what he asked us to do is look at regulations over the impediments that were holding people down. I see a sign back there that, you know, I know y'all are promoting WOTUS, and real happy with that. But I'm real proud of my friend Scott Pruitt and EPA and his courage in doing those kind of things. One of the most onerous WOTUS regulations I've ever seen there. But I think we're on the right track of doing it the right way. Everyone here, I believe, knows, and I certainly know, that I think farmers are some of our best conservationists and stewards of the land that I've ever known. I grew up around it. I inherited it. You may have heard my comment about the way my daddy taught me. He said we had a farm that we owned, and we diversified row crop farm and dairy farm. And growing up, my dad loved truck farming too, so I've handled my share of melons and cantaloupes and sweet corn and beans and peas. But we'd rent land, and you know, most time on a year by year basis. And I know in the fall, after crops were off, he'd tell me to order the lime trucks to come and lime fields that we rented. And I was getting to be a teenager up in years, thought I knew everything. And I said, well, Daddy, we just rented that land. We may not have it again this next year. And he said, look to me pretty directly. Clearly, I remember it. He said, son, whether we own it or whether we rent it, we're all stewards, and our goal is to leave it better than we found it. And that's what I believe about farmers, in the fact that your goal for the next generation, whether it's your generation, your progeny, or others, is to leave it better than you found it. And that's what we in the USDA want to help you do. And by doing that, by being prosperous enough to take care of the land, take care of the soil, and really take care of the hunger of the world, because we got a huge challenge over the next 20 or 30 years as the populations continue to increase. The world is depending on U.S. farmers to solve that hunger. So with that in mind, I've talked long enough. This is a listening tour, Rich, and I hope you're going to moderate some questions. I don't find that farmers are very timid when it comes to telling you what's on their mind. So we want to know what's working, what's not, how can we do better, how can we inform Representative Shimkus here and they construct the Farm Bill, how can we administer it, whether it's regulatory issues that we can do right now or 18 Farm Bill for the future. What are the things you would like to see? What are the changes you'd like to make? The three big issues I heard as I went through the confirmation process that was essentially on everyone's mind was trade. You mentioned that, Director Poe, the trade of that. Certainly the next one was farm labor, the farm labor issue. And that's a big deal. Maybe not so much in the cash grain business, it's so mechanized, but you're getting these high-touch crops and harvesting, and farm labor is huge. Dairy business is not a seasonal business. You know, the cows don't take off a month or two out of the year. And then regulation. And I think this administration, just like WOTUS, this administration may be known as the biggest deregulatory administration ever known. And that's not all bad, because I think you all feel like I did when we were in the private sector. We were just being smothered with regulation one after the other. It just continued to bind us. So President Trump's serious about liberating farmers to do what they've done, do well, do what they've always done, and that's produce. So you mentioned Ted McKinney. I'm going to be glad to have him on board as our chief salesman, as undersecretary for trade. And our commitment to you all, if you grow it, we're going to sell it. So we're going to go everywhere we can to sell it. So thank you all for having me today. I look forward to hearing and answering your questions.
Those were the opening comments of U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue to members of the Illinois Farm Bureau gathered at the Beatty Farm in Sangamon County this morning around 11 a.m. The secretary is traveling across the state on his Back to Our Roots RV tour. Just prior to the secretary's arrival, I asked the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Rich Giebert, what kinds of messages he and the farmers in the audience would be presenting to the secretary.
What is Illinois' priorities for the upcoming Farm Bill discussions, and how important trade is to the farmers here in the state of Illinois?
So let's talk about trade first. How important is this?
Trade is really important. Try to get another nickel or dime out of a bushel of corn, soybeans, or wheat, or out of a pound of pork or beef. We need exports and good trade agreements that we can get our products shipped overseas. As you know, 95% of the people, our consumers, live outside our U.S. borders. And we, as at Illinois Agriculture, we can produce the crops.
What's your biggest concern about NAFTA at this time?
Is it that it stays in place and tweaked? Sure, every trade agreement could be tweaked from time to time. And after 25 plus years, I'm sure there's areas that can be tweaked. But we cannot lose our best two trading partners, Mexico and Canada, where we're a lot of corn, soybeans, and that goes to Mexico.
On the subject of soybeans, China, North Korea has been a problem. This Trump administration has been a trade saber rattling. Much of a concern?
Absolutely, because China is our best customer in the off year from the Brazilian market. And where do they come to get beans? Right here in the United States. And there's a large portion of Illinois soybeans in particular heads to China each and every year.
Trade is always an ongoing function. Farm bill year, crop insurance, along with ARC and PLC, where do we stand?
Absolutely. We want to support those products. That part of the farm bill is a risk management tool in our toolbox, as well as conservation programs and a whole host of other areas that are really important to Illinois agriculture.
Harvest price option?
Very good. I want to see that stay. You know, we don't use that personally in our farming operation, but there's a lot of farmers really use that. And if they're willing to pay for it, I think that's an opportunity they should be able to have.
Will Illinois Farm Bureau be in favor of keeping it around? It seems like it's one of those things that might be up on the block as a compromise.
That's something that's up on the block as a compromise, but we want to keep crop insurance as we see it today in whole and tweak it just a little bit on some of the revenue products that are there, ARC or PLC.
Richard Giebert is the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. I'm UFI Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. When we come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse.
It's National Raspberries and Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1782, Andreas Sigmund Margraf died, a German chemist. He discovered beet sugar, which led to the development of the modern sugar industry. In 1783, John Heathcote was born, an English inventor. He developed and patented the lace net machine, which was capable of the complex and yet delicate motions needed to produce lace. His machines made lace hundreds of times faster than it could be manufactured by hand. In 1794, on this day, marks the Whiskey Rebellion. protesting the 1791 federal tax on distilled spirits, a large gathering of rebels in western Pennsylvania burned the regional tax inspector's home. President George Washington ordered 13,000 troops to the area, but by the time of their arrival, the opposition had disappeared. And in 1834, Joseph Marie Jacquard died, a French silk weaver. He was the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom for brocaded fabric. His use of punch cards was later applied to census data and eventually input cards in early computers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you from the Back to Our Roots RV Tour across the state of Illinois with the Secretary of Agriculture. We started out the day in Rochester. We're moving from here to Shenandoah, and not very long after this program starts at 3 o'clock at one of the FSs there. And then we'll be in Georgetown tonight at the Georgetown Fair. Come on out, and maybe you'll get a glimpse of the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. That's around 6 o'clock. Right now, we probably ought to take a quick glimpse, maybe more in-depth than that, at what's been happening in the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be here, as always.
Well, it's a nice day to travel, especially if you're going to be outside a little bit. It's a little overcast and not too warm. What can we expect the rest of the week?
Well, from a temperature perspective, this stretch of cooler-than-normal weather that we're in right now is going to continue the rest of this week, even into the start of next week. However, there are increasing indications that by the second half of next week, temperatures will return back to more seasonal levels and in some parts of the northern Corn Belt, warmer than normal levels. However, there's simply no indication of any extreme heat or, you know, real problematic temperatures here working their way back in to the Corn Belt over the next several weeks. So again, cooler than normal for another week or so and some moderation after that. From a precip standpoint, there's two main points here as far as the precip pattern is concerned. The first is from a macro perspective, where we're going to continue to see opportunities for rain across a majority of the Corn Belt here coming up for the next few weeks. However, the one area that has missed out on these rain events, especially over the past 6 to 8 weeks, that's been Iowa. And obviously the focus of attention has now really turned to Iowa because of the lack of rainfall there of late. And it looks like that's going to continue here going forward. So in the micro details of the pattern, with Iowa being the focus of attention and thus in the greatest need of rain right now, the setup does not appear to be there over the next few weeks of any widespread rains across the state. So it's kind of more of the same. In general, you're seeing kind of near normal rainfall coming up across the Corn Belt as a whole, but for Iowa, which has been the driest area, looks like the dryness persists here going forward.
There have been a lot of discussion about an active hurricane season. Can you tell me about the tracks normally of the weather forecast or weather that come out of those hurricanes and why they may not make it into Iowa at sometime later in the month of August?
We've seen up to this point a pretty active season. We anticipate that to continue, but what it takes to get that moisture into the Midwest, specifically Iowa, you have to see the ridge of high pressure become more centered over the East Coast. With that type of pattern, that really opens the Gulf of Mexico and opens up the flow to allow any system that would move into the Gulf of Mexico to move due north. Now, again, if you have a system here, there's the risk of it being a strong system and ultimately the wind impacts there and storm surge, and that needs to be watched for the New Orleans area. But that would be the type of pattern here that would bring moisture eventually to the to Iowa.
We'll keep our eyes open for that and ask you more questions about it later in the month. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Through both the prosperous and challenging economic cycles of agriculture, Farm Credit will support rural Illinois today and tomorrow.